Today, we speak about introduction to what's called Apocrypha or Deuterocanonical canonical books. And before I start, I'd like to read a verse from the letter of St. Paul to Timothy. The second letter of St. Paul to his disciple Timothy, chapter 3, verse 16. He told him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And apparently, in this verse, St. Paul was referring to the scripture of the Old Testament, because the New Testament scripture at that moment wasn't yet collected and wasn't yet canonized. So when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's speaking about the scripture of the Old Testament. And when he says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, this means all the scriptures, all the books that were acknowledged by the Christian in the first century have a testimony from the New Testament itself that all of them are an inspiration of God. Meaning, if during the time that St. Paul wrote this letter, the acknowledgement all the books of the Old Testament, including what is called the Deuterocanonical books, this means St. Paul himself testifies for the Deuterocanonical books as inspiration. Do you understand this point? يعني القديس بولس الرسول في الرسالة دي بيقول كل الكتاب موحى به من الله. يقصد هنا بقى الكل يقصد به ايه؟ العهد القديم يمكن لسه العهد الجديد لسه لم يقنن بعد لم يقنن. ف عايزين ندرس مع بعض ونشوف وقت ما بولس الرسول كتب هذه الرساله كان ايه اللي عند المسيحيين في القرن الاول معروف على انه كتب قانونيه. وان كان من ضمن الكتب القانونيه دي الاسفار المحذوفة، إذا يبقى فعلا الأسفار دي أسفار قانونية وبولس الرسول نفسه شهد لها. لو كان وقتها المسيحيين ما بيستخدموش الكتب دي يبقى إذا دي أسفار فعلا غير قانونية. So if we could prove that these books, the deuterocanonical books, were considered as part of the scripture at the time in which St. Paul wrote this letter, this means these books have a testimony from the New Testament itself and from St. Paul himself. And apparently, these books were well known for the Christian. Why? Because St. Paul says to Timothy, and then from a child thou hast known the whole scripture. From your childhood, you did know the whole scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So, it's implicit in this verse that the books that's considered canonical were well known to the Christian, and that's why he told him, from your childhood, you know the whole scripture. and that from a child thou hast known the whole scripture. أختي مايكو معايا الكلام ده؟ تمام؟ معلش هي هو الموضوع بتاع النهارده you know the lecture times is dry because you know it's like a research so يعني لو حد ما فهمش حاجه يقول قبل ما ابتدي I'd like to explain the meaning of the word apocrypha or the word deuterocanonical. Apocrypha, the first person who used this term was Saint Jerome. Saint Jerome. And the word apocrypha means hidden away. اللي هي الترجمة بالضبط المحذوف. يعني hidden away. حذف الطلب. This is the meaning of the word apocrypha. And Saint Jerome used it referring to some books that he himself didn't consider canonical. And Saint Jerome considers these books as false books, not his books. And of course, Saint Jerome has a different list of the canonical books than the list that the whole church approved and used. Saint Jerome is the person who made the translation that's called the Vulgata. The Vulgata is the first translation of the whole scripture to the Latin and was made for the West. Because the East was speaking Greek and the West speaks Latin, and that's why he translated the whole scripture for the West, and this translation was called Vulgata. And actually, this translation is the base for the Catholic Holy Bible. يعني هم بيعتبروا الترجمة اللي ترجمها القديس جيرون هي دي أساس الكتاب المقدس في الكنيسة الكاثوليكية. يبقى معنى كلمة أبوكريفا معناها محذوفة or hidden away or the second word deutero canonical. Deutero means second and canonical قانونية. So deutero canonical means the second canonical books. And when they say second, they don't mean it is lower in its importance or significance than the other canonical books, but just to differentiate these books from other books, so they got second. And that's why sometimes in our church we use the word deuterocanonical book in الأسفار القانونية الثانية, وإن كان يعني many people don't recommend to use the deuterocanonical book because maybe some lay people understand this as second in its importance. But of course not, because if we consider them the canonical, they will be at the same level of importance as the other canonical books. What is the story behind these canonical books and why there is conflict about its canonicity, whether they are canonical or non-canonical? To give you a little historical background about it, there was many versions of the Old Testament that's used in Jerusalem. And I mean many versions, I mean many collections. For example, the Hebrew-speaking Jews, the Jews that are speaking Hebrew in Palestine, are generally known to use 24 books, known as Palestinian canon. And although even in the canonical books, so even in the Old Testament, the Palestinian canon, they just acknowledged 24 books, which divide in three divisions. The Law, known as the five books of Moses, the Prophets, and just accept in the Prophets four former, which we call now measure, and four later prophets, which we call minor. So they just acknowledge eight prophets. And writings, the other books, they call writings, and they just acknowledge 11. So they acknowledge 24 books only. And some tribes or some sects among Jews didn't acknowledge all the books. For example, the Sadducees, the Sadduqiyin. What is the main heresy of the Sadducees? Yeah, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Sadduqiyin of Rishbi, one of the Kantil Amwad. عشان كده, they didn't accept that as a canonical book. Why? Because there is a prophecy in Daniel, or a verse in Daniel, supports the resurrection of the dead, which they deny. And this verse in Daniel 12, verse 2. يقول ايه؟ When that time comes, your own people will be spared, all those whose names are found written in the book. Of those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, many will awake. Of those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, where do you mean? The dead. Those who lie sleeping in the dust of the earth, many will awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting disgrace. The Sadducees didn't believe in this book, because in Daniel 12, verse 2, there is a verse about the resurrection of the dead. And that's why they disregarded the book of Daniel. The point that I'm trying to emphasize here, and there wasn't a consensus among Jews about the canonical books. There was not a consensus among the Jews regarding the canonical books. And as the Encyclopedia of the Jews says, Encyclopedia of Judaism, page 117. Encyclopedia of Judaism, page 117 says that the limit of the third part writings are not local in the Palestinian canon. كان في ثلاثة division اللي هما اللو the five books of Moses, prophets, والبروفيتس قلنا four former and four later, and writing. والرايتنج دي كان بيقول including 11 books. في الانسايكلوبيديا بيقول ايه؟ the limit of the third part اللي هو الرايتنج دي how many books include was not finalized until mid of the second century. يبقى regarding the Jews, they didn't finalize he didn't canonize until the second, the mid of the second century, what are the canonical books that are in this third part, the Humayun writings. So, if the Christian accepted books in the first century, and then in the second century, the Jews denied it, these shouldn't affect us. If St. Paul testified for the books in the first century, they are canonical, and then in the middle of the second century, some Jews denied these books, this shouldn't affect us. يعني حسب الانسايكلوبيديا بتاعت اليهود بيقولوا ان لغاية نص القرن الثاني ما كانش في اجماع على ايه الاسفار القانونية بتاعت العهد القديم. فكان لغاية نص القرن الثاني هما لسه ما قالوش ايه الاسفار القانونية بتاعتهم. وكان في اختلاف على الاسفار دي. وكان القديس بولس في القرن الاول شهد للاسفار دي. إذا لو حتى اليهود بعد كده قالوا احنا مش رايحين سفر التكوين ولا مش رايحين سفر الخلود، ده مش مفروض ان يخلينا احنا ايه نهتز في الحته دي الايمانيه. معايا في الاسم؟ ايه اللي حصل بعد كده؟ اللي حصل during the third century before our Lord Jesus Christ, third century before Christianity, the Greek, the successors of Alexander the Great, they wanted to spread the Greek language and the Greek civilization. But they were some Lamagoman Arab, and after they invaded Egypt, for example, they started to spread their language. In the same way, the Greek wanted to spread their language. And that's why, in the 3rd century before Christ, Ptolemaeus, who was a ruler in Alexandria, in Egypt, ordered 70 persons from the Jews to translate the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, to Greek language. And actually, this was the first translation for the Old Testament from the Greek, Hebrew to Greek. And this translation occurred fame in Egypt. And this translation is now known by the Septuagint. And Septuagint means 70. So it derived its name from the number of people who translated this translation from Hebrew to Greek. The Septuagint. And Septuagint started to spread among the Jews that were in Egypt at the time, and also start to spread among the Jews that they lived in Palestine. And as we see, during the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, all the quotation from the Old Testament were taken from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew. And the Septuagint includes all these apocrypha, all deuterocanonical books. Let me give you some examples that our Lord Jesus Christ, or the writers of the New Testament, used the Septuagint and didn't use the Hebrew version of the Old Testament. For example, in the letter of St. Paul to Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 5, الفيرس دي مين يقراها؟ هيبرو 10 فيرس 5 بتقول ايه؟
Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering we did not desire, but the body we have prepared for me.
Okay, sacrifices and offering, thou wouldest not desire, but a body has thou prepared for. This first verse, St. Paul is quoting from Psalm 40. If you read Psalm 40, verse 6, you will find it read different. There, again, 40, verse 6.
Yeah. Sacrifice and offering we did not desire. My ears were open, burnt offering and sin offering we did not require.
Okay, so that my ears has thou opened. Here we all know about a body thou hast prepared. You see the difference here? Yeah. In Hebrews 10:5 we all, but a body thou hast prepared me. In Psalm 46, it reads, mine ears have thou opened. The scholars of the Bible said that St. Paul quoted this from the Greek, and that's how it reads in the Septuagint. If you have the Septuagint version of the Old Testament, and you read Psalm 40, verse 6, هتلاقيها body that has prepared for you. فده معناه ان the writers of, or the authors of the New Testament, in their quotation, they refer to the Septuagint version, not the Palestine version. لأن هما they believe in the Septuagint version is more accurate. But why we have now this? Because the Bible that we have in our hands is translated from the Palestine version. في الأصف Old Testament كل يكون في الكلام about the Old Testament. لكن the New Testament ما فيش مشكلة. ففهمت الحتة دي ولا؟ أديكم مثال تاني.
هو سيد باول كتب بعد من السكن سنشو
لا لا الاستوشن ده القرن الثالث قبل المسيح يعني 300 سنة قبل ما جه سيد
المسيح يعني جاية من الفلسطيني الباقي الفلسطيني الباقي is actually more accurate and that's the original. This kind of confused why would St. Paul wrote that translation part and we're saying we want to follow that part of so it's a translation of the original part.
See two theories here to answer your question. The first theory in some words has more than one meaning. And that's why the Septuagint in its translation so they understood because we believe that Septuagint translation is inspired and God protected those who translate it. Look, I think the famous story of Simon the Elder. So this means And when they translated the Septuagint, they had the intention of God for the meaning of the words. They had the accurate intention of God for the meaning of the words. لأن ممكن يكون كلمة واحدة ليها أكثر من معنى. السكند ثيوري بيقولوا إن ممكن يكون حصل يعني علشان الكريستيانيتي يو نو سو سم تشينجز في الـ في الـ في الجويش فيرجن اوف ذا اولد تستمنت تو انتاجونايز ذا كريستيان بيليفز. فور اكزامبل لما يقول له a body that has prepared for me. This means it is a prophecy about the incarnation of God. And if the Jewish refuse the idea of the incarnation of God, so they may change it, or, you know, and they, you know, you open my ear, and instead of saying, you know, God incarnate, you give me a body. And check it out. They refer to the Septuagint because it's more accurate.
Isn't this translation also, this version is a translation of the Aramaic and the Palestinian version, or the later version? This was not the original language that was written in Hebrew language?
Maybe, I didn't search this one, but that's maybe true. Maybe the Palestinian version is also a translation from the original, maybe, but I didn't search in my English. هديك وقت حتى تاني بين لكم هديك وقتين تاني تبقى لكم الفرق ما بين ال يعني ها the authors of the New Testament refer to the Septuagint not to the Palestine camp. Okay, in Hebrews 11 verse 21. Hebrew 11, 21. Mini Arab. About Jacob. Any hadith? And actually, St. Paul was referring to what was written in Genesis 47, 30, 31. And there are 47, Genesis 47, verse 31, during how Jacob bowed himself upon what? The head of the bed. See the difference here? St. Paul said, worshipping or bowing on the head of his staff. But in Genesis, it's written, bowing on the head, the head. And again, the difference, because St. Paul was quoting the Septuagint, but the Old Testament in our hand, it's from the Palestinian camp. A third example, وده برضو يبين لنا ان ممكن يكون البلاستينيوم كان حصل فيه تحريف شوية. كلكم عارفين الآية المشهورة اللي هي Matthew quoted from Isaiah, a virgin shall be with a child and bring forth a son. A virgin. Actually, in our, I think it's written here in the King James Version, برضو a virgin. لكن لو حد معاه revised standard version, حد معاه revised standard version, يدو. Read Isaiah 7:14.
Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, behold a young woman shall conceive.
See the difference? Behold what? A young woman, not a virgin. And the young woman is the actual is the literal translation from the Palestinian camp, and a version that's from the Septuagint. And apparently, they made some changes in the Palestinian camp just to fit the Jewish belief. And that's why the revised synthetic version, they translated from the Palestinian camp, and that's why it's written here a young woman, not a virgin. Different sources, So this needs another research. Like what I'm trying to prove right now, and all the authors of the New Testament, either St. Matthew or St. Paul, they were quoting the Septuagint, not the Palestinian version. So when St. Paul adds all the scripture, is an inspiration of God. This means what? He's referring to the situation. Maya? نرجع بقى للسؤال المهم. The church accepted the situation until the 16th century. Until the Reformation, or I don't know if the word Reformation means right. Anyway, until this movement that they call it the Reformation started. And they didn't accept these books as the canonical books. And here we are speaking about, you know, seven books of the Old Testament. كلهم عفوا مش معروفين يقول يدو قالوا حيث مانا كبيرين على مشاعر السماء why they didn't accept what is the main reason and what is the argument of the Protestant why they didn't accept these books as canonical books the main reason Protestant reject the deuterocanonical book is to support their own teaching. And I'll give you an example. The Protestants don't believe in praying for the dead. They don't believe in praying for the dead. And actually, the Catholic Church, when they pray for the dead, they pray for a wrong reason. Because the Catholic Church believes in purgatory. So when they pray for the dead, they pray for those souls that are in purgatory, so God will have mercy upon them and comfort their souls in the purgatory. I think purgatory is the mother. He is the mother, so he will علشان ربنا يعني يخفف العذاب عنهم شويه. ومن هنا بعض بدعه دخلت في الكنيسه الارثوذكسيه عندنا واحنا مش واخدين بالنا منها. بس نشكر ربنا ان دلوقتي اتصلحت. فور اكزامبل. ايه ده؟ يا. وان اوف ذا مش عارف اسمها. وان اوف ذا فولس بليفز ذات ديورينج ذا فيست And during the 50 days after the glorious feast of resurrection, as if God gives, you know, tranquility to those who are in purgatory. Give them break. And that's why some people. They say we shouldn't pray for the departed during these 50 days or during the feasts. فتلاقي مثلا تكليف الصلاة العشية في الأعياد 50 they replace the litany of departed by the litany of the saints. And the theology behind it, because there they are not tortured in purgatory. طبعا ده it is the Catholic influence on the Orthodox Church. And some people just do it without understanding the reason behind it. Until this was, you know, fixed by, you know, educating the people that now we should pray the litany of the departed for the holy year. But I في عيد ال أي عيد من عاد السيدية في العشية بنصلي الشتاء الرقمي صلى طول السنة في الخمسين بتصلى الشتاء الرقمي. Another word معرفش يوم on the day of Pentecost there is the prayer of prostration اللي هي صلاة السجدة. بعض الناس كانوا يسموها صلاة السجنة in imprisonment. Because now these 50 days of praise are over and God will imprison them again in the purgatory. And that's why, you know, I saw this in Egypt. People come to the church wearing black, crying, you know, for the dead, because now they will be imprisoned again. صلاة السجنة. That's how it is. Worship. Why we pray for the dead? That's like a big subject. Like just to read, how we pray even for Saint Mary, the commemoration of the saints, and all graciously accord, O Lord, to remember all the saints who have pleased you since the beginning. Most of all, the pure, full of glory, ever virgin, holy Theotokos, Saint Mary, who in truth gave birth to the Logos. So it's just we are praying for those in purgatory, or you are praying for Saint Mary. So in the Orthodox Church, we don't pray for the dead because we ask God to have mercy on those in purgatory, because we don't believe in purgatory in the Orthodox Church. But prayer is a sign of fellowship between the triumph church and the struggling church. So there is a fellowship between the two churches. They are praying for us and we are praying for them. Prayer is not only for the forgiveness of sins. Prayer is to grow in the knowledge of God. So we are praying for them to grow, because in eternity there is growth in the knowledge of God. As our Lord Jesus Christ said in John chapter 17, and this is the eternal life, they know you. So the eternal life is the knowledge of God. And they pray for us. Anyway, that's not our subject tonight. So the Catholic, the Protestant, in rejection to the Catholic belief about praying for the dead, so they rejected the deuterocanonical books, because in 2 Maccabean chapter 12, from verse 45 to verse 46, there is a clear verse about prayer for the departed. فلو حد عايز شاهد من الكتاب المقدس يقول ايه؟ For if he had not expected the fallen to rise again, it would have been superfluous and foolish to pray for the dead. يعني هنا بيقول if it was expected that the departed will not rise again, then it is foolish to pray for the dead. Whereas if he had in view the splendid recompense reserved for those who make a pious end and thought was holy and devout, this was why he had this atonement sacrifice offered for the dead, so that they might be released from their sin. I think here there is a very strong verse and strong evidence for the prayer of the dead. And because of this verse, the Protestant didn't accept the Book of Maccabees. Another claim the Protestant says, and the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, never quoted from these different canonical books. I will not argue this claim. I assume this is right. The Lord never quoted from the different canonical books. But on the other hand, the Lord never quoted also from Song of Songs or Esther or Ecclesiastes. So, does this make these books not canonical? Of course not. As a matter of fact, indirectly there are quotations in the New Testament from some deuterocanonical books. And I'll give you some verses. For example, Romans 1, 18 to 32. Romans 1, 18, 32. Have you read it?
Mind to do those things which are not things,
again. All these verses are about the idol worshippers and how God dealt with them. And exactly, St. Paul is quoting what was written in the Book of Wisdom from chapter 12 to chapter 14. But عشان دول ثلاث صفحات we don't have time, so we will not read them. But maybe when you go home, just read Wisdom from chapter 12 to chapter 14 and see how St. Paul actually literally quoted some verses from this. Paul criticized in Romans chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11. That's exactly what's written in the Book of Wisdom, chapter 11 and chapter 15, about Israel. So again, Hannes and Paul is quoting what's written in the Book of Wisdom. What's written, St. Paul, in Hebrews 11 from verse 35 to 38, Hebrews 11 from 35 to 38, this is a quotation for 2 Maccabees, verse 6, in chapter 6, from verse 15 to chapter 7, verse 41. So, in fact, in the New Testament, there are quotations from the Old Testament. Another argument, the Protestant used it to reject his body, these books, the Uloe. The Lord said in Luke chapter 11, verse 50 and 51, therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. And the Protestants say, how they interpret this verse, the Ur. Abel is mentioned in Genesis 4, verse 8. And Zechariah is mentioned in 2 Chronicles 24, chapter 24, from verse 20 to verse 22. So, those two being the first and last books according to the Palestinian canon means that the Lord acknowledged the Palestinian canon on and not the Septuagint. يعني بيقولوا ان السيد المسيح لما قال يقطع لك كل دم زكي من دم هابيل الصديق اللي دم زكريا لازم تغطمه بين هيكل المذبح فقالوا هابيل ده في سفر التكوين وزكريا ده هو المقصود او هو المذكور في اخبار الايام الثامنة صفحه 24 من عدد 20-22 وقالوا هو ده الكتاب الاول والاخير حسب الفيرجن اليهوديه فاذا يبقى ربنا يعني اكنولج ذا فلسطينيان كانون اند نوت ذا سيتويشن بل it is true. طبعا if you go to Matthew 23 verse 35, the Lord says Zechariah the son of Barachi. يعني في انجيل لوقا زكريا بس في انجيل متى قال زكريا the son of Barachi. لما تيجي تشوف في 2 Chronicles 24 20 to verse 22 يقول لك ان زكريا ده the son of مين؟ جيهودار. Second Chronicles chapter 24 from verse 20 to verse 22. Jehuda. So apparently, and we're speaking about two different Zechariahs here. And the most acceptable explanation for this verse, are he mean Zechariah? Mean. Yeah. Zechariah of Yohanan and Ramadan, when you know, Herod started to kill the infant, 3 years and young, younger. So Zechariah said, I received my son from the altar. So he took him and put him on the altar. And while he is leaving the altar, the soldier of Herod killed him. So the Lord was referring to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, not Zechariah in the second context. So the Lord said, the Messiah will be able to kill them. He was found from Abel, the first person who was martyred, to Zechariah, who was in 47 the Messiah.
شنو هم زكريا برضه اخر مباراه في العالم؟
هو اللي كان اخر كتاب هو ده اخبار الام الثاني ده كتاب زكريا اخر
حتى مع مليان
زكريا في المتحف
يعني اللي فيه المسيح في الكوفيد بعد سكن كلهم
بعد سكن كلهم في بعض المؤشرات اللي هتلاقيها مش كافية. في 15 evidence that these books are canonical. بس احنا كده اتأخرنا ممكن لأن لما صورت والحين دول اتخطوهم يا إما
في حاجة فيزيكال كده خلص هل ممكن ليه ما فيش حاجة كتب التعقيد؟ أو مثلا لو حد دلوقتي كتب حاجة ليه مش هتتكتب إنها تبقى قارئة في الطبيعة؟
لا طبعا لأن الكتاب المقدس the whole scripture is considered the breath of God considered also infallible teaching and have authority over us. Not any book reaches to this level. Even, مثلاً, yes, the, مثلاً, the writing of the early church fathers, they are sacred and we accept them. But they may be fallible. I mean, it is not 100% infallible.
مثلا المسائل بتاعت
سان بول لما جه اوكي ما هنرجع تاني we believe that these books are the inspiration of God as سان بول said so in this inspiration God protected them God protected the writers from doing any mistakes The Holy Spirit guided them. And there are two verses. The verse that I read you from 2 Timothy, all scripture is good for reproof. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness. And the second verse in here, Peter, لما بيقول إيه For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it is absolutely the inspiration of God. And this was yani, no more in the church. Now we have, you know, yes, writings, but these writings are. Can be considered fallible. And this one difference between the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church have many writings that not only the Bible that considered infallible. For example, the teaching of the Pope, they consider all his teaching are infallible. لكن احنا طبعا بنقول ان دول عشان كده مثلا نلاقي في اختلافات يعني مثلا نقول حصل مثلا اختلاف ما بين القديس فلان والقديس فلان في تفسير الايه دي وفلان رد على فلان وده بعت وده وحصل بينهم نقاش. فده معناه يبقى هم مش معصومين من الخطأ في تفسيرهم حتى. وبعض الناس احنا يعني زي مثلا أوريجين أند ترتيليان we consider them as great scholars but not saints because their interpretation of the Holy Bible had many fallible, you know, teachers. So the inspiration of the Holy Scripture ended by the time of the apostles. بعد كده في ممكن كتابات الكتاب المقدسة ولكن لا ترتفع إلى مستوى الكتاب المقدس. The only book that has authority over us is the Holy Bible. Any other book, when we read it, we have to read it and to examine it and to accept what's written or not to accept according does it match with the Holy Bible or not.
What's the best name that you should use for the second Maronite and Apocrypha? The Maronite and Apocrypha looks like the best. Because Apocrypha is including other really Apocrypha books, long books. So which one you should use?
Welcome to all the canonical books known as Deuterocanonical. Actually, there is no, yeah, ممكن تقول ده Deuterocanonical, but اللي احنا بنخاف منه ان الناس تفهم Deuterocanonical they are second in importance.
Right? Say the canonical books are more like the best books.
ممكن.
The Apocrypha is misleading, yeah.
Apocrypha
is misleading,
yeah. All the Catholic and Orthodox Church. All of them, only the Protestant who believe. Like all the Orthodox churches and all the Catholic Church believes in the canon, the protocol, Peter canon.
Now the second question is it ever going to be added to the Bible or are we ever...
Now the new versions of the Bible add the Peter canonical books. Like مثلا, I saw Revised Standard Version, the technical was Apocrypha. So I have the Revised Standard Version with Apocrypha. في حاجة بنسميها the third millennium Holy Bible. وده عبارة عن King James, the authorized King James, the old King James with the Apocrypha. So now they start even in Arabic versions. طلعوا نسخة عربية فيها القوانين الأسفار القرنية الثانية. لا دار كتاب مقدس. دار كتاب مقدس. أنا عندي كتاب. هو له قصة. القصة دي هحكيها لكم بناء على رواية أبونا جوارديوس عطال اللي هو موجود في لوس أنجلوس. كان دار الكتاب المقدس عايزين ينزلوا طبعة ثانية أو ترجمة ثانية للكتاب المقدس بالعربي. ترجمة سهلة يعني. فعملوا لجنة لأن أحيانا الترجمة العربية بتاعتها دي فيها كلمات قديمة وأحيانا تبقى صعبة الفهم. فكانوا عايزين يحطوا ترجمة ثانية تبقى دقيقة ولكن الترجمة دي تبقى يعني يستخدموا كلمات معروفة بالنسبة لنا وسهلة يعني. فعملوا لجنة فيها ناس أرثوذكس وناس كاثوليك وناس بروتستانت عشان يراجعوا الترجمة دي. وكان اللي من الكنيسة عندنا كان أبونا جوارديوس من الكنيسة الأرثوذكسية فهو اللي بيحكي لي القصة دي. فأبونا جوارديوس بيقول إن الترجمة اللي نزلوها الكتاب المقدس كان في حاجات كتير هو مش موافق عليها. من يعني غير من ناحية الدقة يعني حاجات مش دقيقة. فراحوا يعني لسيدنا البابا علشان يعني حصل يعني اختلاف لا ده صح ده غلط كده فراحوا لسيدنا البابا. فسيدنا البابا اقترح عليهم قال لهم يعني الترجمة اللي عندنا دي الناس كلها حفظتها وانت لما تحط ترجمة ثانية الناس خلاص مش هتاخد عليك يعني خلاص الناس حفظتها وحفظت الآيات بالطريقة دي فلما بتنزلوا آيات زي المشكلة اللي عندنا النهارده في الإنجليزي يعني حفظ الولاد الآيات حسب الأولد كينج جيمز ولا نيو كينج جيمز ولا فايس سينز فيرجن ولا نيو انترناشونال فيرجن ولا نيو أمريكان فيرجن حتى يعني لما يكون في كذا فيرجن ففعلا الواحد مش عارف يحفظ الولاد الآيات حسب أنه فيرجن لكن احنا كلنا خلاص حفظنا الكتاب المقدس حسب وحتى طبعا لو في حاجات يعني ترجمات مش دقيقه عارفين ان الحته دي مش دقيقه وخلاص كنا يعني من الشيوخ عرفنا ليه فهم حطوها بدل النصوص الى اخره يعني. فسيبت قال لهم يعني انا نصيحتي ان انتوا عايزين تنزلوا كتاب مقدس يعني للاخبار والكاثوليك والبروتستانت نزل كتاب مقدس حط فيه الاسفار المعروفه. فخرجوا معاهم ست مرات ودول خلاص احنا موافقين وننزل الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه في الكتاب المقدس. وراح فعلا طبعاً الكتاب المقدس حط فيه الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه بس حط الترجمه الجديده هم حاطينها. فعشان كده ابونا جارجيوس يعني كان بينبه ويقول ان الترجمه دي فيها اخطاء برضه مش دقيقه. اللي هي موجوده. الفيرجن دي موجوده وانا عارفه وشفتها طبعا كنائس بتتباع في مكتبات الكنيسه. الحقيقه انا ما اعرفش بالظبط ايه الحاجات المستقيمه بس كده بقول لكم ان بحكي لكم الروايه دي حسب ابونا جاوبيس وحكيها لي لكن انا ما قريتهاش كلها وما اعرفش ايه الحاجات المستقيمه فيها. لكن اللي انا بقوله ان في فيرجن نزلت بالعربي محطوط فيها الاسفار وكان الدكتور مراد كامل نزل الاسفار المحظوظه دي في كتاب لوحدها كانت طبعت في مكتبه المحبه زمان كان مكتوب عليه الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه. هو عمل بحث مقدمه جميل قوي مقدمه الاسفار القانونيه الثانيه يثبت فيها قانونيتها وكده من